Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back in our third segment of a very, very important conversation. A witness to history, I think, is what we're treated to here. Ingrid Carlquist is one of the people who has been writing very, very powerfully about what is happening to Sweden in the face of the, well, hijra by migrants coming from various parts of the Muslim world to that land, long known as one of the most liberal, for sure, and advanced Western societies, at least if measured by the various generous benefits it's provided its people. But it's being transformed before our eyes. And Ingrid, you were talking about these so-called exclusion zones. Give us a flavor of what they amount to in terms of not simply a threat to, you know, the authorities if they venture in there, but what's happening inside those zones?
You know, what's happening is that it is like, you know, little Baghdad, little Mogadishu, and the people who live there, the women, I mean, I get really upset when I think about this, that the women, they live just like they do. They do in Baghdad or Mogadishu or wherever. They go on with full burqa or niqab. They have no rights. And I even saw one woman, I think she was from Lebanon, and she had been living in Sweden for 20 or 30 years or something. And she said in an article, she said, I want to flee once more to Sweden, because now I don't live in Sweden. Where I live, it's like in Lebanon, Iraq, or whatever. So we have, and these young people, they don't live like Swedish people. They live in the honor culture. They can't see who they want to. They can't make friends with Christian Swedes, and they can't marry outside the family and so on. So we have created horrible societies in the midst of Sweden. Sweden, who used to be, as you said, liberal, free, and a perfect society in many ways, and we are destroying it.
Is it fair to say that the sort of norms that are being applied are essentially those of Sharia, that these exclusion zones are becoming effectively Sharia enclaves that increasingly exert influence or even perhaps dominion over non-Muslim parts of Sweden, especially with respect to the conduct of Swedes?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we have in this so-called no-go zones, Sharia zones, there is radicalization going on. We have had a lot of so-called Swedish terrorists, not in Sweden, but in the Brussels attacks a month ago. Two of the perpetrators were Swedish citizens. One is dead and one is in custody. And the one who is in custody right now, he was, I think, born and raised in Malmo, in the famous area or infamous area of Rosengård. I think you heard it. And in 2009, we had a migration minister who was actually very good. She's not a Swedish one from the beginning. She's a black woman from Africa, very smart, very intelligent. And she said, I want to do something about the problems in Rosengård and these places, because we don't want that radicalization. So she put two terror experts to do a study in Rosengård. And when they presented it, they saw all the problems and they said, you got to do something now. What do you think happened? Everybody condemned it. The minister, she had to leave her post shortly after that. And even the security police said, oh, this is nonsense. This is racist. We don't have this problem. Now we have a terrorist in custody in Brussels, and he was raised and born in Rosengård. If they had listened to these people 2009, maybe we could have changed something.
And the question, of course, occurs, how many more are being raised in this culture and with the same sorts of aspirations? And what kind of threat will that pose to Sweden itself, as well as perhaps other countries in the West? And let me ask you about this point you've just made, rather colorfully, I might say, Ingrid, about what you're not allowed to say about all of this. I know that you have had epithets hurled at you, as have I, about being a racist and bigot and Islamophobe and the like. for having, well, as you and your co-author Lars Hedegaar pulled it, you know, written dangerous words about what's happening and calling out those who are responsible for, well, essentially accommodating it, at the very least, appeasing it, submitting to it. And is your freedom of speech, is that of the average Swede now, severely circumscribed when it comes to speaking truthfully, candidly, honestly, accurately about what's happening in your country with regard to these migrants?
Absolutely. And more Swedes are beginning to talk openly. But for so many years, we have been labeled racist and xenophobes and whatnot. So people have been really scared, not scared of going to prison. This is not North Korea, but you might find some similarities between Sweden and North Korea, but you would not go to prison. But you will risk losing your job, losing your friends, losing your family even, because this brainwashing has been going on for so many years that people up until, I don't know, a year ago, actually believed that every kind of criticism you made against the immigration policy, the Islamization, made you into a Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may not be going to prison for these kinds of candid comments, but as you know so well, your co-author and friend and colleague and mine, Lars Hedegaar in Denmark, has been prosecuted for saying things that that fall afoul of this sort of sense of political correctness, I guess, is the most generous way of describing it. Is that now a threat for you in Sweden as well? Are you seeing this sort of the rising challenge to Western civilization in your country as well as elsewhere in Europe?
We do. And we have seen, actually, a few trials against people who have said things about Muslims, and they're called racist, and you could actually go to trial, and you will get a fine or something like that. And I'm just waiting. I'm just curious. Why haven't they prosecuted me yet? I think I know the reason, because I've been saying all these things that other people have been dragged to court for. I think that they don't want that to happen because they know that I know what I'm talking about. If they made me come into the court to defend myself against what I've been saying about Islamization and about the Quran, what's in there, they really don't want it because they don't want Swedish people to know that what I'm saying is actually the truth. So that's why I'm off the hook, I think. But I'm not sure.
I hope that will remain the case because your voice is very much needed and to be heard not only in your own country, Ingrid Carlqvist, but in ours as well. As you look at the sort of changes that you're seeing in your country and as you look at the rising sense that something is dreadfully wrong among your countrymen and women, what is this meaning or what is it translating into politically? You've mentioned sort of vigilante operations, but what's happening at the political level, if anything, with regard to all of this?
That's interesting. The Sweden Democrats, that is the only party who are against, you know, open borders, so to speak, they have been they've been on the rise for since 10 years ago, and they were in some polls the biggest party. But now what's happened was that last year when we had this 163,000 migrants coming in 1 year, even the government realized that we can't cope. Not that they don't want more immigrants, they do, but there were too many in too short a time. So the government have now decided, now we have border controls, now you have to show a passport or some ID to get into Sweden. But if you have that, then it's still open. If you show your passport, you can come into Sweden and then you can go for asylum.
And I understand that you can also, that the government is also talking about exporting or deporting some of these folks as well. We have to pause for a moment. We'll be right back with more on that and what's happening elsewhere in Europe with Ingrid Carlqvist right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.